Throughout the world, many people suffer abuse in one form or another. I think it'd be alarming if we know how many people suffered abuse. It's sad to me. I'm grateful that I can testify today that there was no abuse in my home. I didn't have to see any abuse. My backside was thick enough to take care of some things. I was never slapped. I was never hit. My backside took care of it, as I said before. There's a big difference between discipline and abuse. We can't avoid trying to think that if we don't talk about it, it'll go away, because it doesn't go away. Any of you that's been abused will know that it has long consequences. God never condones abuse. It's never justifiable under any circumstance. We live in a fallen, sin-cursed world. But many believers have experienced physical, sexual, verbal, or emotional abuse. So today I want to share some suggestions that could be helpful to those who maybe perhaps still suffer the effects of past or present abuse. To the world, the word abuse is a very broad term. It applies to just about any and every offense. And so I want to clarify what I mean by it. I'm not talking about simple criticism or some unkind word that momentarily hurts our feelings. I'm talking today about genuine abuse. It causes great harm, and it affects a person for a very long time, especially true when the victim is a child. The difference between abuse and discipline. Discipline is the responsibility that I think each and every one of us as parents have to specific behaviors that we sometimes will see in our children, and we wanted to correct it because we do it for simply because we love them and for their good. And that's where the difference lies between discipline and abuse. You see, abuse flows from an internal predisposition. Those that were harmed by somebody abusing probably were abused themselves in some way or another. It's especially true. The purpose of discipline is to correct the behavior for the good and because we love them. Abusers are not concerned for the welfare of their victim. They just want to express the anger that they feel inside of them. They want to express that anger. So here's some suggestions for those who have suffered abuse. Number one, seek God's guidance. There isn't any simple standard of response to abuse because each situation is different. It's why it's important to seek God's will. Spend time in the Word and be very sure you have God's instructions for the decisions that you may have to face. Secondly, pray for your abuser. Implore the Lord to save and transform that person. And ask God to reveal the abuser's motive. Someone may act this way. And if you know how or why they're acting that way, it may help you to know the hurt that fuels that abuse. And you'll be able to discern how to pray for them. Thirdly, don't blame God. The Lord never initiates or instigates evil behavior, but he uses every situation to our spiritual growth. Satan is the one who comes to kill and to destroy. Satan is the one who stirs up evil in one's heart and brings it forth as abusive behavior. Fourthly, forgive your abuser. I know it's difficult, and it may take a long process as you work through your hurt and your anger. Holding a grudge is not an option for a believer. We're to forgive others, just as God in Christ forgave us. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Forgive the one who allowed the abuse. Sometimes someone else sees or knows about the abuse but does nothing to stop it. And that individual may have refused to face the situation because, you know what? They don't want to believe it's happening. They just simply don't want to accept what they're seeing. It's hard for them to accept that. Maybe that person have felt unable emotionally, maybe physically or maybe financially, to change the situation. Talking about stepmothers, stepfathers. Sometimes if they say anything about it, it would cause the finances to stop because they might end up separating. Maybe that's one of the reasons why they don't say anything. But you need to learn to forgive them. Should they not left it happen? You know, they should have left it happen. They should have said something. They should have spoke up. It wasn't right for them to stand by and watch it. And maybe it's something you may have to ask sometime, why they stood by and watched it. Might be helpful for you to ask that one who enabled it, why he or she didn't help. Whatever their motive, God calls you to forgive. And then choose to believe the truth about yourself. Many times the victims of abuse are often told or made to feel worthless. That's going to be part of my follow-up message next Sunday. They may have a recording of all the abusive things that was said or done to them that plays and plays and plays over and over in their heads and shapes their self-concept. This internal audio records not only the words, but the countenance, the tone, and the volume with which they were delivered. So to counteract that internal recording, you must reprogram your minds with the truth of God's word. And once you believe what God says, you'll be able to begin to overcome the horrible effects of abuse. Here's what you need to remember. You were created by the Lord. You are not an accident or a mistake. Can you imagine what a child would feel like if they were told you weren't wanted? You were a mistake. Horrible consequences. Horrible. That child will no longer have any self-worth. Child will always feel beaten, destroyed. Won't have a desire to succeed. Because you were beaten down. We were told we really didn't want you. But I want to tell you, you are loved by God. Your songs couldn't have been more appropriate today. Shame. You can get glory out of shame. God brings glory out of shame. Beauty for ashes. Gardens out of graves. You are wanted by God, and you belong to him. Jesus considered you so valuable that he was willing to die for you and suffer for you and go to a cross for you. Every human being has three essential needs that are required for emotional health. All these are provided for believers by the Lord through the church. That's why we gather together. That's why we pray with one another and hug one another, hold hands and pray with one another, lay hands on one another. It's here. It's here where it happens. A feeling of belonging. In the church, we are all members of Christ's body. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one's happy, we all rejoice. We're a family. That's what we do here. We love all of you. Appreciate all of you. You need to feel like you belong here. We appreciate having you, every one of you, from the young to the old. You're an inspiration to all of us. Your desire to follow him. Always keep that desire. A sense of value is the second thing that's essential for emotional health. Believers love and appreciate and honor each other. Thirdly, a sense of competence. The Holy Spirit has given each of us a spiritual gift that enables us to successfully serve the Lord here in the church. All of you are special. You have special talents. You're all special. There isn't no big cheeses in here. You're all just plain cheese. There's no big specials. You see, you're all wanted. You're all necessary. You're all needful. Every one of you are important. There's not one person more important than another. Because you're all loved. You're all very important to us. Open yourself up to healing. A healing process has to take place in your mind and in your heart. Because there's painful memories. And they can act like poison and infiltrate every aspect of your life. But the Lord is our healer. He often uses other people in the process. You might need to seek some help from maybe a godly counselor who's grounded in the Word of God, whose guidance is based on biblical principles. Counsel coming from the world can be destructive and harmful. But the Holy Spirit will give us the discernment that we need. Remember, the Lord said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. He'll lead and guide you into all truth. Refuse to retaliate. Romans 12:19. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it's written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. Sometimes you like to push the envelope. Sometimes you like to get ahead and help God out. I know of a disciple that thought he could help God out in the garden. Do you remember Peter? Peter drew his sword and cut the ear off the man's chest. Peter thought he's going to help the Lord out. Jesus said, Peter, put your sword away. You live by the sword, you'll perish by the sword. Don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels? I have angels at my command. You know, and you know what one angel can do. Can you imagine what 12,000 angels would do? One angel rolled a huge ton stone, 3-ton stone away from the opening of the grave. What do you think 12,000 angels could do? Put your sword away, Peter. He could have said at that time, Peter, this is the reason I came. I came for this reason. This is the purpose I came into this world to die. That's why I'm here. I came to die. Put your sword away, Peter. Put it away. Choose to move forward in life. The Lord is able to take all the broken pieces of your life and put them together in a most beautiful way. He can even make you a blessing to someone else. And you can be confident. He promises to work all things for your good. Romans 8:28. I've said it many times. Christians should be the happiest people in the world. Can't make a mistake that God can't fix. You hear me? Will we be making them? Sure you will. Do you want it? Not really. But he can make good come out of it. That's what's beautiful. Beauty for ashes. Gardens out of the grave. Wow. Look for something good to come out of abuse. That's my last one. Look for something good to come out of the abuse. God works mightily in and through people. We've gone through some great hardships and difficulties. Though you might feel humbled or broken, I can tell you that he can build you up and he can reshape you into a strong and compassionate servant. He can do that. The songs they sang talked everything about that. That was perfect. Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. He too has suffered rejection and verbal and physical abuse. In the midst of our pain, we're invited to come to his throne of grace to receive help in our time of need. Hebrews 4:15-16. And now to those of you who may be viewing this by internet, have you suffered some form of abuse in your life? How has it affected you and your family and your choices? And how have you dealt with it? If you've never experienced abuse, what can you do to help someone who has? Look through your Bible at the many passages that speak about one another and see how Christ wants you to respond to help others. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This message is a new message to me. But maybe some of you have been affected by abuse. I don't know who you are, but God does. Maybe in some time in your life you have been affected by abuse. And I pray for you now in Jesus' name that God will touch you and help to heal you of this terrible time in your life. And maybe at present you're being abused, and I pray that you will seek help. It's never God's intention for you to stay in a relationship where you are being abused. So seek help. Find somebody you can go and move into and live with, because God never intended for you to stay in an abusive relationship. So I pray for you that God will help you through this time in your life. And I pray that God will bring beauty for ashes. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. So we're going to open up the altar at this time.